Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Mark Jacob, who is a sometimes contributor to the Mincing Rascals podcast and is a very good one at that, said news media are so damn gullible. MSNBC just said Elon Musk welcomed Trump back to Twitter, quote unquote, after a poll. But it wasn't any kind of scientific poll. It was meaningless. Yet MSNBC legitimized it, buying into Musk's BS that he's reflecting the will of the people. Well, I kind of noticed that, too. I think the irony over the weekend of Elon Musk allowing Trump back on Twitter, to my knowledge, Trump has not accepted the offer. I don't know if his account is active. I haven't heard of any tweets from the former president on that platform. He still has his own. But I think the irony of Elon Musk allowing Trump back on Twitter, and again, he asked his users, Elon Musk did, if they wanted Trump back on the platform. And in about a day or so, 15 million votes were tallied. And Musk said 51% said let him back on. The people have spoken. First of all, Twitter has about 450 million accounts. So around 8 million, say a majority of 15, isn't exactly vox populi. And a click survey like this is meaningless. The news click is not meaningful, except it's a conversation starter, and it sometimes reflects the general will, but you would never offer that as a valid survey. Plus, Elon Musk balked at buying Twitter because of fake accounts and bots. Fake accounts and bots are how you rig a vote. I could have created a program to vote a million times and rigged it either way. Elon Musk wanted Trump back on Twitter. He should have just said that. I don't know why he won't own that. Putting it back on the people is a lot of things. Cowardly. I don't know what it is. Jane Curley, what is it? What's the game here that Elon Musk is playing?
I think it's typical of Elon Musk, who has been trying to hold himself out as this great democratizing force. And as you said, he comes up with this highly suspicious poll and uses it as cover while seemingly completely rejecting his team and safety council, which, granted, predated his purchase. Maybe he doesn't intend to use it anymore. But he's doing this without any kind of review by that group. And I think you're right. He wanted to let Trump back on and, in my opinion, should have just said, it's my platform now. I'm going to decide who gets to be on it. The heck with this safety team. I'll make the decisions, and if you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Jane Curley is the Scylla Professor of Media Ethics and Law, the director of something called the Scylla Center, S-I-L-H-A, the Scylla Center for the Study of Media Ethics and Law at the University of Minnesota. Right, Jane? Did I get that right?
You did, every bit.
You teach a class then, too, Jane? Are you in the classroom?
Oh, yes, I am. I teach two classes every semester.
So what's this safety council of his all about? What's the purpose of that? Who's on it?
Well, it was set up before he made the purchase, but he's got a number of scholars and civil rights activists, human rights activists who are on it. One name I recognize is Danielle Citron, who's a well-known data privacy and advocate professor. And again, I think they all got sucked into this back in the pre-Musk days with the idea that they would play a role as independent moderators of the site and helping to make decisions about who might get tossed overboard and so forth. Based on a quote I saw from her, it sounds like they were completely blindsided by this. You know, I think anybody could be somewhat skeptical about how many teeth a group like this had, but at least the former owners of Twitter were making a stab at having some kind of independent review. As I said, it seems to me that Musk has repudiated that now. It's his right. He's a private entity. He can do whatever he chooses. But, you know, for somebody who claims to be in favor of transparency, it's a little hard to swallow this.
Well, is there any equivalence to the fact that he also let the likes of a Kathy Griffin back on, a Trump hater, a comedian who put some things in poor taste up and was kicked off the platform? Is he trying to sort of show a little balance there?
I have no idea what he's trying to do, and I'm not being flippant when I say that. I really don't know what his goal is. Given what's happening at Twitter in terms of its infrastructure, its departure of engineers and others, it's really hard to escape the feeling that his goal, his end game here, is basically to cause Twitter to implode. Because if I were making a decision about what platform I was going to turn to for reliable sources of news and information, I would not be confident going to Twitter at this point, because it seems to be driven by his whims, which are highly unpredictable. And I noticed that when somebody criticized him online about this, he immediately responded via Twitter, of course, saying, "Stop defaming me." So he's very good at dishing it out, but not very good at taking it.
But Twitter, if on Twitter you're reading the New York Times or the Washington Post or WGN Radio posts, there's no worry about the authenticity of that information. It is a good aggregator, right?
Well, maybe, maybe not. You probably heard that CBS decided it was going to pull out of Twitter, and they announced it with some fanfare. Now they're back on. And I was looking at their Twitter handle, and it says something to the effect of "your trusted source for news." And I thought, really? Are you confident that the Twitter as it now exists, with its reduction in staff, both voluntary and involuntary, that they're going to be able to maintain the integrity of people's tweets, that they're going to be able to verify who's actually posting these things? I wouldn't be comfortable with that. And if I was a quote-unquote trusted source of news, I'd be very wary about using that platform, at least until this all shakes out. It does say something about you if you're using a platform where you know that misinformation is very much in play. I mean, would CBS use a social media platform that RT, Russian Today, was operating, or that a Chinese platform was operating? Maybe. I don't know. But I would certainly think twice about it. And at this point, I'd feel the same about Twitter.
Well, less for that and more for the fact that I don't like Elon Musk. And frankly, I don't like Trump on Twitter. I think the screw got turned down so much when Trump was off Twitter. The angst in America, I think, fell precipitously. And so that he's putting it back on, either for profit or to own the libs or whatever his reason is, I don't want to be on Twitter for that. I still do trust the sources that I'm following. I take your point, Jane. But now I want to vote against Twitter, which might be voting against my own best interest. People I know post things that are helpful on Twitter for me. It works when it works.
It does work when it works, and I think it would be very sad if it did collapse, because you know we've seen it used in emergencies, weather emergencies, other kinds of emergencies. That's a way public officials can reach the public quickly. And so if you're positive, if you can verify that the sources are what they purport to be, then, yeah, it's a terrific tool. And I would hate to see it cease to exist without at least some replacement out there. But, again, if you're a news organization, I have to think that you have to think about, am I being judged by the company I keep? If the platform is really making no realistic attempts to make sure that the Twitter accounts are what they represent themselves to be, then how can you be confident that you won't be compromised as well? Maybe I'm being naive when I say that, but with CBS having made the decision to drop off of Twitter, it just seems very odd that they would choose this moment to come back on.
Jane Kirtley is a professor of media ethics and law at the University of Minnesota and follows these sorts of things. What's your response to this, Jane? 815 texted in, "I've never cared for Trump and have never voted for him and never will, but as a former journalist, I do believe in freedom of speech and do not believe in all of this cancel culture stuff."
Well, again, let me say just this. Cancel culture is a term that has many, many different meanings. From a freedom of speech perspective, if we're talking about the First Amendment, Twitter, its predecessor owners, or Elon Musk can have anybody on board they want and kick off anybody they choose. The only thing they have to worry about is a contractual problem if they're violating their own terms of service. If there were no other outlets available, I would be much more sympathetic to that argument. But, you know, Twitter is really not a monopoly. As you mentioned, President Trump now has his own Truth Social that people can turn to, and there are other things to Substack, Mastodon. I mean, there are many others, not with the equal penetration, but they are mm-hmm. out there. So, but having said all that, I will say that I do worry about a private actor like Twitter kicking off people that are, you know, for example, a top official in a country. Because where do you stop? You know, which country do you currently think has a bad human rights record or something like that? Are you going to make the decision that their head of government can't use this platform? So I get that point.
Yeah.
But again, it's not the only game in town. There are other options out there.
Well, the other options for you or me. But you're right. If we're going to let the Saudi royal family on Twitter, then maybe a former president of the United States should have a chance to tweet all he wants as well. Or maybe not. Jane Kirtley from the Siller Center in Minnesota. She studies media and ethics. She's talking to us about Twitter again. Jane, what's Mastodon?
You know, I'm not an expert on Mastodon, but it's a new-ish social, privately owned, like all of these are, social media platform that is touting itself as a new alternative to Twitter. And I think, you know, we'll have to see if its reach and penetration can even begin to be comparable to Twitter. But they do apparently make attempts to verify who their subscribers are.
Talk to me about, should we hold companies responsible, liable? Should we boycott companies that advertise on a platform that has a policy we don't agree with?
You always have that option. You know, that's a great thing as a consumer. We can always pick and choose which products we want to use in the first instance and whether we're happy with the companies that support ideas with which we disagree, whether it's the people that write political contributions to a candidate we don't like or whether it's utilizing something like Twitter. I think that the interesting thing from an advertiser perspective is going to be if they do get blowback from Twitter users who contact the company and say, as long as you're on this platform as an advertiser spending your money supporting Elon Musk, I'm not willing to mm-hmm. continue to use your products. But, you know, I'm a believer in citizen action in that sense. I would much rather see that happening than having the government step in to decide what Twitter can and cannot do.
I feel that way about them intervening on Taylor Swift tickets, too. But let's just, yeah. But I think you need to break that down, too. Say you're General Motors and somehow you have a advertising relationship with the platform Twitter. And now, what is it that Elon Musk has done? Being stupid is not reason enough to abandon half a billion users or user accounts. So what has Elon Musk done that is so toxic that it'll stain you too? He's an ass. That's okay. Still got 500 million, 450 million accounts. He led Donald Trump on. Is that singularly so bad that you would abandon hundreds of millions of possible customers? What's the worst thing that Twitter's done? I think we get caught up in this evil empire notion of Twitter and Elon Musk that we don't pause and ask this question.
Well, I agree that that's an absolutely fair question. And I would say that for some people, the reinstatement of Trump might be enough to say, you know, you kicked him off, you put him back on, I'm done. That's a legitimate choice. Beyond that, obviously, it's shades of gray. It's what you're willing to tolerate. I mean, I know people that have stopped buying from certain outdoors companies because they learned that they had supported Republicans with whom they disagreed. Does everybody do that? No, of course they don't. But it is one small way of making your voice heard.
Yeah, but if you're the company, knowing that, do you still advertise there?
Don't you think that it's something, though, like making decisions about who you're going to keep as an endorser for a product? I mean, you're going to reach a point where you think that individual is just so toxic that you don't want to be associated with them anymore.
Okay.
Now, whether Twitter has risen or sunk to that level, I think is still remains to be seen.
Well, I'm just begging the point here, Jane, but 70 million people voted for Donald Trump, and a lot of them would vote for him again. And then other people are just agnostic about the whole thing. They're not going to equate Donald Trump with Twitter with an advertiser on the platform, and therefore I don't buy a Chevy or a Ford. I mean, that's a lot of dots to connect. So I think you can sort of look away if you were an advertiser and still be on the platform.
You can, and I saw today that there are many Republican and other supporters of Trump who are saying, great, you know, we're delighted he's back on Twitter. So the question is, for me, it isn't really so much Trump or not Trump. It's the total appearance of any kind of lack of, set of rules, set of principles that operate here. It's basically based on Mr. Musk's whims. If I was an advertiser, I'd be cautious about it. But, you know, I'm not going to say that I would necessarily decide to sever my relationship with the platform, at least not yet.
Oh, say that again, Jane?
At least not yet. If I was an advertiser, I'm not sure that I'd be prepared to say I'm done as a result of what's happened so far.
Well, I'm...
But, you know, I'm not in the position of spending millions of dollars in advertising on Twitter.
No, but I'm sort of pushing you in that direction. I didn't know I was going to get there. So, in fact, you're not sure it's a prudent thing to do either right now as a major company.
I think, you know, they have to make a decision about whether they're going to be comfortable with this highly mercurial CEO who makes unpredictable decisions. If they're in for the ride, if they're prepared for that rough ride, it's their money. They can do what they like. I just would say they should go into it with their eyes open. And
what an interesting point, because I made that argument about businesses that were advertising and using Kanye West as an endorser or as a business partner. I'm like, when did you think this was going to go well or badly? Didn't it dawn on you that this might blow up on us? So, too, there's a shot across the bow, corporate America. If you're on that platform with that mercurial adolescent who's running that company, you've been warned.
I think so. And again, I think your example of Kanye West is an excellent one. You need to be careful about your presence. You need to be careful about who you're using. Again, if they're comfortable with this, I mean, if I'm an edgy company, maybe I love this because I think under the proposition that, you know, any publicity is good publicity.
I've got 60 seconds left, rather. Jane, what's your response to this? Hey, Jane Kirtley, you said you would not report news taken from an unreliable media source like Twitter, but the media does that all the time. Somebody else is questioning news organizations that are always relying on questionable sources or reliable sources that get stuff wrong. How do you insulate yourself in this case with Twitter?
Well, I'd say the biggest thing is to say Twitter would never be your single source for any story. Just like any source, you want to verify what you're getting. And some sources are more reliable than others, but, you know, the old idea of if your mother tells you she loves you, check it out, applies certainly to Twitter or any other social media platform. I think there is, you know, in the desire to get stories out as quickly as possible, there's a regrettable tendency on the part of the media to rely on a single source. That's dangerous, whether it's Twitter or anybody else.
Jane Kirtley is a professor of media ethics and law at the University of Minnesota. The Scylla Center studies this. Thanks, Jane. Nice to talk to you again.
My pleasure, John. Thank you.